Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
I know there's been a lot of misinformation in this debate, and there are some folks out there who are, frankly, bearing false witness, but I want everyone to know what health insurance reform is all about.
I believe that this particular health care plan, as it stands now, is absolutely, patently ungodly and evil.
The social statement as amended is approved.
I want to wish Muslims across America and around the world a blessed month as you welcome the beginning of Ramadan. May God's peace be upon you.
Happy Ramadan, Abdul.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love issues, etc.
Well, if we were writing the story today, saying how it ought to be for a great man of God, one that John's gospel tells us, this man was sent from God. Jesus says, greatest man born of woman, save himself, of course, and the greatest prophet ever to have lived, the forerunner of Christ. There's no doubt about it. The bridge between the Old and the New Testament, John the Baptist, that whose testimony was so powerful, whose preaching was so powerful, that people mistook him for the Christ himself. If we were writing the story, we wouldn't have it end this way. We'd have him retired in, Caesarea Philippi, sitting in a villa by the Mediterranean Sea, sipping on whatever they sipped on in the first century Palestine. Easy, ever having run his course, done his duties, finished his race, John the Baptist would retire to a life of ease and comfort. And you know, the message of Christianity today would suggest that if you're a faithful servant of God, that's how things should probably go for you. But it didn't for John the Baptist. He was among the martyrs, not unlike many of the prophets who came before him or his Lord himself. We're going to be talking about the martyrdom of John the Baptist. Remember, by the church tomorrow, Pastor Bill Swirla joins us for the first half hour of this hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Friday afternoon, August the 28th. We'll spend the first half hour talking about the martyrdom of John the Baptist. Then we'll discuss vocation and parenting with Molly Ziegler Hemingway. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And you can Twitter questions or comments to us right here in the studio. It's at IssuesETC, at IssuesETC. Pastor Bill Swirla is a regular guest. He's pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. He hosts a weekly internet radio show called The God Whisperers. Bill, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd. Blessings and peace on this Feast of St. Augustine.
Yeah, we did Augustine yesterday. We had to front load it with Monica because...
Got to keep one day ahead of your feast. That's good. So we're gonna move from Augustine to the head of John the Baptist.
This is not the way we'd write the story, and it's certainly not the way that 21st century Christianity would have one of the greatest men in all of Christendom to have ended his days.
Well, it's the feast day with the most peculiar iconography that there is. If people think crucifixes are strange, try the icons of the severed head of John the Baptist presented on a silver platter, but that's what you get. And yes, it is a stark reminder of the nature of the kingdom of God when it encounters this world. And it is truly, as you pointed out in your introduction, a theology of the cross. This is not how we write the success story, the victorious life, the God working through the open door and the easy way. But the very forerunner of the Christ, the prophetic forerunner, kind of the last of the Old Testament prophets, and standing on the threshold of the coming of the kingdom and the incarnation of Christ, you figure if anybody had a privileged position, it would be John, wouldn't it? And here he ends up, as soon as Jesus is baptized at John's hand, John is arrested, basically thrown in Herod's prison, and sits there for, you know, who knows how long. And then comes the sordid story, which is part of this feast day's narrative. That is the request on the part of Herod's quote-unquote wife, who is really the estranged wife of his brother. So what landed John in prison in the first place for criticizing them, he ends up losing his head over this, and quite a story.
It's interesting to note two things, first of all, and that is this is told parenthetically, I think, by both gospel writers. Wait a minute, I just said John is dead. I kind of have to explain how he got that way.
Yeah, it is parenthetical. Because it comes up because as Jesus' fame is growing with his preaching and especially his miracles, the rumors are swirling as to who he is. You know, is he Elijah? And some were saying that he was John the Baptist, redivivus. He's come back from the dead. And, of course, this causes Herod conniptions because he's responsible for John's beheading. And so in both Matthew and Mark, the story of his martyrdom is then just picked up as an oh by the way, which is again I think a very interesting illustration of the nature of the theology of the cross. This is not to exalt John, but you know in many ways he's the forerunner of the Christ prophetically, but he's also the forerunner of the Christ in death. That he bears the cross of Jesus, you know, ahead of Jesus, so to speak. He's marked by the cross of Jesus. The kingdom brings him into this conflict, and he dies at the hands of Herod.
That was the second thing I wanted you to talk about, was this is kind of, I mean, to talk about him as the one who goes before to prepare the way, we usually think that that kind of preparatory, what phase of his ministry ends when he's no longer publicly preaching and baptizing, but it sounds like you're saying, no, he's going all the way ahead of Christ, even into death, to prepare the way.
Yeah, it underscores the fact that death and resurrection is the mechanism of the kingdom of God. And again, it fits in with the way you introduced this whole thing. Dying and rising is the way, and John sort of carves out that way in his own wilderness way, dying in a dungeon, for the sake of the kingdom, that too is preparatory. It shows the way. Of course, he's not dying for his sins or for the sins of the world, but nonetheless, his fate is intimately tied to Christ and to the crucifixion.
Then, how do we read this, kind of in a literary sense, the way that the story is told by both of these gospel writers? It sounds like an inadvertent execution. I mean, both of them, I think, point out that Herod does not want to do this. He's actually trying to keep John safe, although he still has him in prison.
Yeah, Herod and John have an unusual relationship. It says I think it's Matthew that says that Herod would often go down into the dungeon just to converse with John. And boy, I would love to have been a fly on the wall of that dungeon to listen to that conversation between Herod and even though Herodias is really the one behind this, she's the one that insisted he be arrested, and she had it in for him because remember she's the estranged wife of Philip, Herod's brother, and so she's shacking up with her essentially brother-in-law, and bringing the family along with her daughter Salome. And it's Herod's birthday of all things, and he's got all the big shots around, and you know they're having a good time, and they're partying and drinking and feasting, and the hookah's going and everything, and so Salome, who is obviously she's a young girl of marriageable age, she does a little belly dance for the dignitaries, and it's so it says it so pleased Herod. You know, that's his quote-unquote stepdaughter, that he makes this lavish, you know, I would have to assume drunken promise that I'll give you anything up to half my kingdom, whatever you want. And so she goes to Mom, and Mom says, the head of John the Baptist, that's what I want. And so, you know, it's really Herodias that's behind it. But the whole scene is just, it's bizarre. It's a bizarre interruption in the proclamation of the kingdom. And Mark, the next thing is the feeding of the 5,000. And the preview of that is Jesus preaching in his hometown without honor. But it's a reminder, see, that the word is always rejectable, and the word always encounters this opposition. And John, as a prophet, embodies the word. But it really is a sordid episode.
In what sense, John is famous for saying, I must decrease, he must increase. In what sense is John's death yet again a final way of pointing all his followers, all of Israel, to the one who would come after him, Jesus? We've got about a minute before we take a break.
Well, yeah, John, by embodying the word, John takes on the scandal of the word. And as I said, his fate is tied to Christ the Word and his crucifixion. And so even in his martyrdom, he demonstrates that the kingdom is not going to triumph in this world by might or power, but the kingdom of God is going to triumph through the power of weakness, the underhanded power of the cross. And really, John's death is what spurs the preaching of the kingdom by Jesus. It's the turning point. It's the beginning now. This is it, because the time of preparation is over. It's kind of like saying Advent is ended and Lent has begun. And so it's that pivotal in the narrative. And I think by the story being as sordid as it is, it really contrasts the kingdoms of this world with the kingdom of God.
Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest on this day, a day in advance. We're remembering the martyrdom of John the Baptist. Pastor Swirla is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. He hosts a weekly internet radio show called The God Whisperers. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can Twitter questions or comments to us on this Friday afternoon, August the 28th. At Issues ETC. By the way, you'll find a link to the God Whispers under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Village Lutheran Church in Ladue thanks God for His saving gift of faith through Christ and invites you to share in this gift by worshiping with us Sunday mornings at 8:15 or 10:45. We're conveniently located 1 mile west of the Galleria on Clayton Road. For more information, call 314-993-1834 or visit villagelutheranchurch.org. Village Lutheran Church, ordinary people loved by an extraordinary God. VillageLutheranChurch.org.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. At our website, issuesetc.org, click Promote, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the martyrdom of John the Baptist. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest. Bill, I was up late last night combing through the almost 2,000 fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook fan page. I didn't see your picture in there. Maybe I missed you. I don't know.
Wrong, my friend. I happen to be staring at the Issues Etc. fan page as we speak, and to verify that, that's 1,943 fans, of which I, by definition, am one of them because the only offer I have is to remove me. So I'm
okay,
on there somewhere.
You're in there somewhere. I just hope it's not that picture of you from 1976, 77.
Oh yeah, the 1976, the Charles Manson lookalike contest there. That was rough.
That was very interesting. For a moment, I actually thought you were at Woodstock, and then I started doing the math and realized you're old, but you're not that
old. I'm old, but I'm an old guy, but not that old. Yeah, I was a youngin' back then. We just coattailed on our older brothers and sisters and got to see the movie.
Yeah, we were the fellow travelers on the other end of the spectrum. For anybody who does want to become a fan of Issues Etc., at our Facebook fan page, it's very simple to do. Facebook.com/IssuesETC, Facebook.com/IssuesETC. If you're already a member of Facebook, just search for Issues Etc., and you can become a fan among the almost 2,000. I'd like to be able to come in Monday morning and find 2,000. We got 1,943 right now, and maybe by Monday, 2,000 fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook fan page. You get pictures there of in-studio events. Not everything. We don't take pictures of a lot of it. But when people come in to visit us in the studio, we often take a picture. You can also interact with other fans there, and we give you updates of what's coming up on the show. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. You said before several times in the last segment that John embodies the word. What do you mean by that?
Well, that's true of every prophet. If you look at the history, the record of the prophets, most of them suffered a martyr's death. And it's that they not only preach the word, they kind of, and I'm using this term rather loosely, they incarnate the word. They because the word of the Lord is upon them, because they are sent by God, as John was a man sent by God out of nowhere. He comes literally out of nowhere. They carry with them the stigma, the scandal of the word. And the sinful fallen world rejects this word in their person. In other words, you don't just shut up the prophet; you got to kill the prophet. You know, you got to put Jeremiah in a dry pit. You've got to saw him in two. You've got to, Hebrews has that whole list of all the horrible things that happened to the prophets. Jesus refers to how, you know, Jerusalem stones the prophet and kills those whom God has sent to them. It's their track record to do this. And John, he fits into that train. And see, all of it, I think all of it prophetically points to the death of Jesus, the Word incarnate. They all bear the stamp, the stigmata of the cross.
Then, with John gone, it's interesting because the Gospels read two different ways, or they seem to. One of the Gospels seems to indicate that Jesus doesn't even appear publicly, really, until John is dead or in prison. And the others seem to have Jesus kind of operating, and then at some point early in his ministry, at a still pivotal point, John is in prison and then dead, and then Jesus kind of comes out publicly. How do we think we have to read this?
Well, I think it's John, the Gospel according to St. John, that has an overlapping period. And that's where you get that saying, he must increase, I must decrease, because John's losing disciples to Jesus, as many of Jesus' early disciples, they were former disciples of John. So John's losing numbers here. And he says, good, that's the way it should be, because he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So John kind of fills in, he just, like in so many things, John is filling in from a completely different perspective. In the Synoptics, however, there's kind of a, it's almost like a baton being handed on. And so it's like the Old Testament giving way to the New, and it's like a prelude giving way to now the main theme. And so John's time of preparation, the Synoptics lay it out as more of a time of preparation, really, with a certain degree of overlap. But you have a sense that something new has begun now, that a new age has been inaugurated as Jesus takes up the preaching of the kingdom.
What is meant when in those gospel accounts, while in prison, John sends to Jesus his disciples asking that question, are you the one, or shall we look for another?
Yeah, that's a variously interpreted episode. Of course, you have John in prison, and this time there's a question raised, and he sends his disciples as an entourage to go and speak to Jesus. Some interpret that as John having doubts that perhaps John held the kind of messianic expectations that were so common in Jesus' day, that Jesus would basically organize an uprising and liberate Israel and restore the throne of David, etc. I certainly think that's in the background of everything that's going on in the Gospels, is this expectation, until you get to Good Friday and you realize it's not going to go that way. Another possibility, however, is that John is doing this for the sake of his disciples. That is, that John knows that he's of no use, and that they can't be hanging around prison tending to him, but they need to be attached to Jesus. And so it's almost like a pedagogical exercise. You know, you go ask him this and listen to what he says to you. And of course, Jesus responds with the messianic signs, from Isaiah particularly, that you know, the blind see and the deaf hear and the leprous are cleansed. And you know, so in other words, what he's manifesting is the sign of the kingdom. They need look for no other. But either way, I think that's the point that it serves in the story, is that yes, indeed, the messianic age has dawned with Christ, but the surprise in the gospel narrative is it's not the messianic age that was expected by the people of Israel.
The story that, as it's told to us in the Gospels, is, as you mentioned before, kind of full of this drama and intrigue. And some might say, I mean, the last time I read through the narrative, Bill, the first word that came to my mind was, it's a senseless death. It's practically accidental, although, of course, as you said before, Herodias knows exactly what she's doing. But it is a senseless death for this great man of God. But I guess I'm willing to admit that to human sight, it was senseless. I mean, why should Christians have a death that makes more sense than anybody else?
Well, I think it's part and parcel of our... It's part and parcel of our way of looking at things, that we try to reach behind what is where Luther called the hidden God, and we like to connect the dots and find purpose and meaning in this. And the reality is we're shut off from that. The tapestry that is the kingdom of God is a tapestry woven through great suffering and martyrdom and tragedy of this sort, and yet God in the all reconciling death of Jesus makes good out of this, and there, you know, but the good is not to be seen, it's to be believed. One must trust that God has reconciled all these things to himself, and that John's death is not some just quirk of a political accident or, you know, just one of those wrong place at the wrong time, but that it fits into the entire scheme of the coming of the kingdom and the establishing of the reign of Christ.
Well, it happens all the time. I mean, you could be I know you like to scuba dive. You could be out there underwater and encounter a shark and never return, and we'd say, what a senseless death. There's a faithful Lutheran pastor taken in the prime of his life, and how terribly tragic. So how are we to understand these? I mean, it does happen all the time, Bill, these seemingly senseless ends to the lives of great and faithful Christians.
Right, and I think they are understood in the same way as we contemplate the death of Jesus. One could say everything you said, you could say of the death of Jesus. An innocent man being crucified for doing no wrong. Everybody says he did no wrong. A holy man, a just man, one who did miracles in the name of God, and yet God seems to have turned his back on him. I mean, all of this is if you're gonna write a gospel that's gonna play 2,000 years later, and you want to make Jesus the hero, don't write it this way. I'm telling you. Yeah, it's one of the things that convinces me of the truth of the gospel is that either they thought the coming generations would be total idiots to believe this, and or it's true, because this is really anti-hero stuff all the way through. But yeah, you can only understand suffering, and I put that in quotes, understand it, as you contemplate the suffering of God incarnate, who embraces all of this. And by embracing, I mean he takes up in his own flesh all of these senseless deaths, these genocides, these holocausts, you name it, whatever it is that we cannot make sense of, he takes it up in his own flesh, dies and rises with it, and glorifies it at the right hand of God. And that's what we're looking forward to. We are looking forward to the heaven's eye perspective of how this comes out, and the promises, the sight is glorious.
Pastor Bill Swirl is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. He hosts a weekly internet radio program called The God Whispers. Bill, thanks for being our guest.
Always a pleasure, Todd.
Folks, if you appreciate studies on biblical stories like the martyrdom of John the Baptist, consider making a tax-deductible gift this weekend. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Or you can make a secure online donation at our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, while we debate how we ought to parent and mother and father, we're going to try and bring some comfort to that situation, talking about vocation and parenting with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway after this.
All right, so you missed your congregation's budget deadline, or your congregation turned down your request to join the Issues Etc. 300. Well, there's still a way to add your church to the Issues Etc. 300. Now, anyone who pledges $1,000 to Issues Etc. in the next year will add their congregation to the Issues Etc. 300. We'll promote your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc., and we'll publicize your congregation to the world.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
LCMS Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
President Obama and abortion funding.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Barack Obama campaigned on finding common ground on abortion policy. Yet his decision to roll back the Mexico City policy signals that the abortion bailout has begun. The policy, named after the city in which it was proclaimed by Ronald Reagan in 1984, declared that American tax dollars would not fund international organizations that perform or promote abortions. Public opinion polls reflect that over 60% of Americans oppose taxpayer funding of abortion. Obama's decision to bypass the will of the American people promotes the radical agenda of the abortion lobby.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.